the point of all that music? Sitting in a drive, massive bursts of inspiration, being left to die. Finish what you started, or you'll be broken-hearted. Release. This is worse than writer's block, the hoarding of a song. Perfection is impossible if you're cooking it too long. Get it out, yeah, get it out, then you can move on. Release. What's inside? Release, release. Speak your mind. Release, release, release. In this age of independence, nothing's in the way. No need for distribution, middlemen are all passe. Take the time to get things out, it's time to seize the day. Release. What if you drop dead today? The biggest tragedy would be that you were a genius artist with no legacy. There's lots of ears waiting for your discography. Release, release, release. What's inside? Sitting in a drive, massive bursts of inspiration, being left to die. Finish what you started, or you'll be brokenhearted. Release.
Setting up this new technology.
Oh, it's great.
it's
the best.
It's fun until once you figure it all out and you become a pro at it. When we met each other, I was so used to doing the show just how it was, where I have a cameraman, I have, you know, all these elements, and then I'm used to doing everything post, everything post-production. But we now live in a time where everybody just wants it done right then and there. I'm still struggling with that facet. I'm so used to letting everything go out and breathe and just taking my time with certain things. And so now everybody wants video with the interviews, and I'm so used to like cutting everything up and putting everything out there. But, you know, now working with all this technology and trying to combine everything together all at once is sometimes a little too much. And I'm just in that infancy of that and working on that. And then in the morning too, when I'm not like, you know, when I'm not 100%, it's like, okay, let's do this.
All good.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, it's been going on, I guess, 7 years since we last talked.
7-8 years since I've last seen you, Fernando Perdomo, awesome. On the show.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. As I said, I still have that Cracker Jack sticker on my Takamine. And yeah, it was great, that little studio that was right across from Mucho Mas.
Yeah.
Which, is Mucho Mas rebuilding? Or
well, what happened was... It's funny you should mention that because I was just in that area maybe 2-3 weeks ago. I was with some of the people that own the studio. We passed by Mucho Mas and apparently it caught on fire.
Yeah, it caught on fire pretty bad. But, you know, the combination of COVID, I mean, it's almost like better that they at least have a real excuse to be closed because
yeah.
Worse than places that are perfectly fine that can't operate because of this crazy disease thing, you know?
I get it. So they're right now, they're still, when I last saw them, they were still kind of rebuilding everything and getting back to business. If you've ever been to North Hollywood and know Mucho Mas, or if you live around North Hollywood, I would highly recommend that place.
It's a really good classic LA style Mexican restaurant with great margaritas and great food. And what's really cool about it, it still had like realistic 70s decor.
Yeah. You know? That second tier seating that was like a stage. I was like, are you sure this wasn't like a theater or something like that? You know?
It definitely made you think of like 1970s. You're done filming at Burbank. You just drive over and have a big rap party, you know, like Stelly Field and a bunch of people hanging out, eating there, you know?
For sure, totally had that vibe. And one of my favorite things to do there was, you know, I never ordered the menu. I kind of ordered off the cuff because their salsa and their chips were amazing.
Yeah, you can just sit there and eat chips all day and drink.
and I feel so bad because that's what I would do. But I'd always get a plate of beans and put tomatoes in them. I would have them dice up tomatoes and put it in there and then just kind of create my own nachos because I'm a huge nacho aficionado.
That place, they got to reopen soon because I want to go there now.
Yeah. But right now you're in Miami. What brings you out there?
My family's down here and I'm just having a little family daddy visit and I'm coming back on Sunday because I have a lot of work. So COVID has been very interesting as far as survival skills. And there's a lot of musicians I know that make a living playing live that are having a real tough time. I actually make a living in the studio. I mentioned this back in 2013. I'm a record producer. Luckily, when COVID first hit, everyone's like, oh, COVID babies, everyone's going to get pregnant. And I'm like, right. No, man, COVID records. Everyone's going to get inspired and write songs. For about 20 years now, I've been a big pusher, early adopter of remote recording. And it's very interesting because, like, I know some very talented people who suddenly realized that they couldn't work because they had no equipment to record themselves. They just got so used to hiring people and going to studios. Well, I've always had a way of recording myself on every instrument and sending the stuff. And what happened was all my clients went remote, which is really fun because as a producer, sometimes it's better to work alone and develop ideas without any other input. Like people breathing down your neck or whatever. It's been a real great experience because I feel like the flow is faster. The results are sometimes better, I think. For example, I've got a client named Ken Sharp who is amazing, who I've co-produced 2 records with and a bunch of singles. I taught him how to use his phone to record his voice, guitars, and keyboards. He sends me tracks and I finish them up with drums, bass, guitars, you know, a percussion. He has written and recorded 75 songs since lockdown. It's his survival method because he's such a prolific and incredibly spot-on good songwriter.
I've had this discussion before about as far as musicians in lockdown. This is the gift and the curse about that. Everybody is in lockdown, so everybody is kind of feeling isolated. So I feel that a lot of people are writing about isolation and stuff. And when people do release their albums, I mean, there's going to be a lot of that. Do you feel that there would be too much saturation?
No, because you know what's going on is that the music industry for the last 20 years has been making most of their money doing 360 deals with artists and grabbing a couple bucks off every t-shirt and $5 off every CD when they tour. Now that artists are not touring, there needs to be a big market of CDs. And I think labels are going to start signing artists again because they need to make money. And the only way to make money when they're not touring is selling CDs or licensing. But I feel like there's going to be a real revolution now of independent artists going major or selling major because while everybody is safe at home, they're consuming. Netflix is through the roof. iTunes is through the roof. Amazon is through the roof. Streaming services are through the roof. It's funny because like I've got some friends that are on labels whose albums have been pushed back, like Kansas and the Lemon Twigs and stuff like that. Funny enough, I've done the opposite. I've released released. And I feel like the sales are up. You know, people are ordering like crazy from Amazon, and they're ordering CDs like crazy because they miss going to shows. So now they're spending that money that they would have spent on $85 tickets buying deluxe edition box sets, double albums, original vinyl copies. Because that's the thing, is that, and especially in this country, it's kind of like a country of consumers. And that's why we do so well with concerts. That's why stuff like Coachella and Stagecoach ends up, you know, attracting 85,000 people that spend all their money on $8 bottles of water. But now that money is actually, they're not gassing their cars. They're not going out to restaurants anymore. So they're filling that void by buying DSLR cameras and GoPros, you know, paying for master classes with famous people and working on their art, which is actually really good because I personally know a bunch of people that during lockdown have decided to perfect their art. I've learned all sorts of new software. I've been learning to edit video. I've started becoming a YouTuber for a guitar page called Fernando on Guitar. I know a lot of people that have been discovering new methods of promotion and new methods of promoting themselves. I've joined something called Fiverr, which is a service program where I could provide my services as a guitar player, drummer, and bass player all over the world. And I got verified as a pro, and go figure, most of the work I get is as a drummer, because people living in apartments, they can do everything but drums, and they need drums. So I've actually done about 30 drum gigs. Even though I'm mostly known as a guitar player, my credits get spread along to every instrument. You know, they say, oh, wow, this guy's worked with Fiona Apple and Beck. Well, you know, I haven't really drummed with them, but they know that I'm that quality. It's been great. I've been sending tracks to, like, Latvia and Croatia and Japan, you know, France, and it's a lot of fun, because that's the beautiful thing about remote recording. If you're just recording in studios, your reach is almost that, you know, this much, but the internet has provided us the world. I'm in a band called The New Empire with a drummer who's in Japan and a singer who's in Iowa. The drummer's never met the singer. The singer was in my old band in Miami, but the three of us have never been in the same room together. But we made an entire record. I'm currently producing a Genesis tribute album. It's hilarious. Like, I was just kind of going on a Facebook group on watching, you know, videos posted by people over the world. And there's a 21-year-old girl in London who posted a video of her playing bass on a Genesis cover. And I immediately wrote her and said, you want to play that song on this record? We're working on it. The same week that Tony Levin, the bass player of Peter Gabriel and King Crimson, sent his bass to us for another song, this 21-year-old girl who's only been playing bass for a year sent us her song. It's kind of like the Grand Equalizer, and I said on Facebook, you're born with two hands and two ears, and eventually you learn how to do amazing things with them. And whether you've been playing for 50 years or 1 year, it brings you the same joy. That moment where you master a song and you go in the studio or you go on stage and you play it, it's incredible because you're given these hands. Like, the human body is like the ultimate firmware update. You know, every year you come up with new ways to use your God-given or whatever given talents, and it's pretty damn cool how also some of us can adapt. Like, my girlfriend's a film editor, and that film world is completely stopped. I mean, before COVID, she had 3 movies at film festivals that were all canceled. South by, Tribeca, Atlanta Film Festival. She had a big $30,000 film editing job that fell through. And now she's working on all sorts of other things, learning how to do more commercial editing, learning how to do all sorts of other editing, you know, wedding videos and things like that. Because the thing about it is, part of what's awesome about humans, especially in this crazy time, is that we learned how to adapt and survive. The survival methods that I've seen all my friends do. I mean, look, I have to admit, there are some friends of mine that are having major difficulty adapting to the new normal. They miss, especially some of the people that are play like in cover bands and stuff like that, where they miss singing the same 10 songs or 20 songs to drunks in a bar. They're learning how to record themselves. They might be writing their first song. It's a very inspiring time, especially with all the craziness going on, poor government choices and social issues. The beautiful thing about, again, humanity is while there's rioting on the streets, while there's all sorts of inhuman things happening, while the world is afraid of an invisible enemy like COVID, we find a way to turn lemons into lemonade and take that bizarre scenario that you're suddenly put with. It's kind of like the old thing where it's like, you know, Stevie Wonder, born blind, makes his ears more developed to be able to become the most amazing musician possible. If something is taken away, aka the ability to hug a stranger, the ability to go to a restaurant and sit down and eat, the ability to go to a concert, you know, spend an afternoon at the Hollywood Bowl, go see a parade. There's so many things that we were all used to that unfortunately we're not going to be able to enjoy for possibly 2 to 3 years. And that's not even concluding the fact that there might be a second or third or fourth wave. I make a lot of progressive rock music, and I've been part of a huge music festival that's on a cruise ship every year called Cruise to the Edge, which is basically the Yes Cruise. And they just announced that that got postponed from March 2020 to April 2022, and that's just because they're being safe, and that's a huge difference. But that's just unfortunately the way that things are now, that we have to expect everything to be moved to at least 2021. This year is a wash.
This is going to sound crazy, but we're going to take a real quick break because I don't know if you can hear that. They're doing the lawn, and so I got to go close the door.
It happens every Monday. At my Cindy and I rent a house in Winnetka. And the landlord paid the lawn guy to come every Monday. Like, and he used to come in the morning, and it would always be like the worst timing.
And that's still, what's going on right
when
now.
He comes by, I'm like, oh god, okay, I got to switch to something electric. I'll go do drums for a change or something because it's loud. Where do you live?
I live in West Covina, California.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But I got it. They're getting loud, so I got to run it and close the door. Hold on. My guest is Fernando Perdomo. It's funny because I watch a lot of music documentaries, a lot of stuff on music. I saw this thing called Echoes of Laurel Canyon. I was like, okay, let me, you know, go check this out. You know, Beck, Fiona Apple, Bob Dylan, or I'm sorry, Jacob Dylan is on there. Yeah. And I'm watching it. They're doing it. And then I'm like, I think I know that guy. No. I was like, that can't be. I was like, is that Fernando Perdomo? I was like, it was the most oddest. It was like the most oddest, funniest thing. Because I'm like, not that I know you, but I'm like, I've worked with that guy before. This is great.
I get emails from like people that have literally not talked to me in 20 years. And they're like, are you in this Echo in the Canyon movie? And I'm like, duh. Well, you know, it's hilarious. It's kind of funny because I've been personally talking about this movie online for years because in 2013, when we last met, I was going to a place called Cantor's every Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Jewish Deli on Fairfax.
Delicious.
And every Tuesday, they have a bar that's called the Kibitz Room, and they have a jam every Tuesday. Well, I started going there every Tuesday, and I met this guy who would always wear like a suit or a leather jacket, and he kind of seemed like maybe he might be like a lawyer or an accountant or a manager.
Some sort of exec.
Exec. And he always would be like, dude, you're a great guitar player. You sound great. I'm Andy or whatever, you know. And I'd be like, okay, Andy. And one day I got up on stage and jammed a Buffalo Springfield song called Mr. Soul. And he just grabbed me and said, okay, I'm a record producer. I'm making an album. I need you to come play on it. And he's like, can you come to the studio tomorrow at like 10 p.m.? And I show up. Turns out Andy is Andrew Slater. Andrew Slater produced one of my favorite albums of all time, which is Fiona Apple's Title.
Oh, yeah. Good album.
He also produced Macy Gray's big album with I Wish, and he produced Warren Zevon's comeback albums in the 80s, and some Jacob Dylan Wallflowers records. And he's like, so do you know the song Questions by Buffalo Springfield? I'm like, yeah, Let It Rain, you know, same riff. He's like, play on this. And I noticed that the singer was Jacob Dylan. I'm like, is this a new Jacob Dylan record? And my eyes got really wide. And he's like, well, it's an album that we're putting together of songs from Laurel Canyon. And he's singing them right now, but eventually they're going to all be duets. And we're looking for a guy to come and play some guitar on it. He brought me in on one song. I ended up playing on the whole record. The thing that impressed him the most is that I didn't need any charts because I already knew every song. You Showed Me by the Turtles, In My Room by the Beach Boys, Go Where You Want to Go by the Mamas and the Papas, I Just Wasn't Made for These Times by the Beach Boys, even like stuff like Love, No Matter What You Do, The Association, Never My Love. And I was like, these songs are the soundtrack of my life. I love these songs. So I played on these tracks and then started getting all the text messages I've fantasized my entire life about. Where it's like, hey, you remember In My Room? Fiona Apple's on that one now. Hey, you remember Bells of Rimney? Beck is on that one now. Hey, I've got bad news, man. You're no longer playing the solo on Questions because Eric Clapton is. But you're still on the guitar. You're on a track with Clapton. I'm like, because you got to understand, I'm turning 40 this year. I started playing guitar 30 years ago. And when I was 10, my heroes were Neil Young, Eric Clapton, Stephen Stills, Carlos Santana, who's not on the record, Robert Fripp, and George Harrison, stuff like that. And to know that I was suddenly on a record with God himself, Clapton, Stephen Stills is on it, Neil Young is on it. It blew my mind wide open because I was just immediately, one of the first things I did was I violated my cease and desist and played the record for my high school music teacher, who was sadly dying at the time from multiple sclerosis. And I played him the record and he's like, you did it, man. You did exactly what I wanted you to do, man. This is exactly what I wanted you to do. And that felt so good because I come from Miami, where nobody gets to do anything in the rock business because there is no rock business. I was actually fairly successful in Miami playing on like cheesy Latin records like Christian Castro and Paulina Rubio and stuff like that.
I love Christian Castro. I love
Christian. You know, I toured with him for 3 years.
Yeah.
I actually just posted a video about I played on a $50 demo for a songwriter. The song ended up getting into the hands of Christian. And in the age of Pro Tools, there's no such thing as a demo. And he took the guitars off the demo and put it on the master. The song went to number one, and he called me in, and I played on the whole record. At 21, I was on a multi-platinum album by Christian Castro called Amadeus.
I'm a big, Gloria Estefan Miami Sound Machine guy. I grew up on that stuff.
Emilio produced the record.
No way.
So, you know, I went pretty far in Miami, but I knew that I could do a little more out here. I never expected it to blow up like that because I thought, okay, maybe I'll move to L.A. Maybe I'll play, you know, with Jason Mraz or, you know, I'll play on some TV soundtrack or whatever.
Whatever artist du jour was out there.
Yeah, artist du jour, or maybe I'll work with some, you know, older artists that are cool. I didn't expect the older artists to be as cool as Neil Young and Stephen Stills and stuff. Now, here's what happened. We made the album in 2014. The album was set to be released in 2015, and we filmed a concert at the, what's it called? Shit, name of the theater.
I think it was the Troubadour?
Not the Troubadour. It was in downtown, and it was called the...
What is it? The Wiltern.
No.
Everything that I'm going to tell you is going to be completely wrong.
It's all good. why can't I remember this? I officially...
So this movie documentary took place in 2014?
Yeah, most of the movie was filmed... Okay, so here's the deal. We, at the Orpheum. So we filmed this concert in October 2015. And the concert was originally to film promotional footage for the album. Well, Andrew watched the footage and said, this could be a really good movie. And he talked to the people that were distributing and said, yeah, a movie would really sell the record good. Well, I found out the hard way that movies take way longer than records. And the album finally came out as the soundtrack to the movie that came out in 2019. It was a long process. And for about 2 years, like around 2017-18, I wasn't even sure if it was going to come out. So I was like, oh God, you're on a track with Clapton that no one might hear. You're on a track with Neil Young that no one might hear. Finally, it came out. And it did really, really well, and now it's out in Europe. And then there's another documentary that's more of a... Echo is like a family-friendly... doesn't include a lot of the really bad stuff.
Right,
like
it PG.
Doesn't go into the, it doesn't version. Go into the Mansons. It doesn't go into the drug stuff. It doesn't go into like the weird MK Ultra stuff. The Laurel Canyon documentary... The best explanation I have is that people are like, okay, what's better, Laurel Canyon, Echo in the Canyon... They actually work really well together because I feel like Echo in the Canyon is more about the music.
Right.
Laurel Canyon is more about the people. So while Echo in the Canyon only very slightly goes into the drama, Laurel Canyon will tell you everything about how everyone ended up hating each other and bands broke up. And then the Manson murders made it weird to go out of the house. And then there's the drug scene and all the overdoses and all that stuff. Echo in the Canyon is more about celebrating that incredible music that came out of this street, basically. I mean, what other street provided so much music over the years?
Abbey Road?
It's an incredible thing. Well, Abbey Road, it's a one place. That's the cool thing about Laurel Canyon is that, as Graham Nash says in the movie, you lived in a house on Lookout Mountain, and you would just walk over to somebody else's house and say, hey, I just wrote this song. What do you think? As the movie Laurel Canyon explains, it was not just as simple as that. It was David Crosby sleeping with every woman that's on the road, scoring hash down that road, and, you know, and all sorts of craziness going on. But really, it was like a classic community where people exchanged ideas. It was the original social network. The original social network was you lived on a street with Frank Zappa as a neighbor, Stephen Stills as a neighbor, Judy Sill as a neighbor, you know, Linda Ronstadt as a neighbor, Joni Mitchell as a neighbor. And also on the same street, there was like Tom Mix and Houdini and all these bizarre actors that lived on the same street, as well as industry people. Like the whole entire Asylum Records label was started by two people that lived in Laurel Canyon, David Geffen and... got the name of the other guy, damn it. You know, Asylum Records was like the local record label, and that's the Eagles, that's Judy Sill and stuff like that, Geffen, and yeah, Elliot Roberts, who was Neil Young's manager until recently.
So, real quick, when people get a hold of you after all these years, I'm going to include myself in this, and they see you, how are you feeling? Are you feeling... like, hey, you know, it's been some time and now you're getting in contact with me? Or is it one of those, well, like, I'm glad you're in contact with me type deals?
Dude, when you turn 40, you just realize you're just happy that, that other people in your life are on the same journey and are, you know, making it happen. So I don't believe in the whole where have you been thing. Mm-hmm. I believe in kismet. I believe in, you know, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, you watched this movie, you contacted me. It doesn't matter that we have been off the radar for over 5 years. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, this is what I tell my clients. Because being a record producer is 45% technical, 55% psychological. Because one of the things you definitely need to do is kind of talk people off the ledge, make them comfortable, you know, make them understand that what they're doing is something good. And as far as what I'm concerned, my motto is there's no past. There's no such thing as the past. The past is past. It's all about today and tomorrow. And it's all about making today as good as possible. And tomorrow as great as possible. Because you know what? Sure, there's a few cases where the past will never get away from you, like if you killed someone or, you know, or if you've made some horrible life decisions that have ruined your health. But the past is past. Work on now, work on tomorrow. I have a song on one of my new albums where it says, you might get a call from an old friend or an enemy trying to make amends. You never know. It's all good. It's all about creating a better today and tomorrow, and then moving on, you know? Life is a journey, and you got to just stay on the road and not pull off the dirt road, you know?
Right. An addendum to that, too, is I'm still around, you know? Yeah. And, you know, I'm always telling people, hey, keep me in mind whenever, you know, you have anything going on, just, you know, keep me around. I'm like, cause I get busy and, you know, I try to stay in contact with everybody that I've worked with before. So, you know, but everything works two ways. You can always contact me too. So that's what I always, you know, at the end of shows or whatever, that's what I always tell other bands too. And, you know, you guys listening right now, if you've been on the show before, feel free to contact me. You know, I'm still around, which is surprising, okay. You know, to a lot of people. They're like, you're still doing your show? And I'm like, well, I'm doing different, you know, another variation of my show. So that was cool. But one last thing wanted to talk to you about. Did this open the door? Because I saw that you were able to do My Guitar Gently Weeps down at Abbey Road.
That's a whole other story. So I musically live a very interesting double life because while I'm working in pop music a lot, I'm also very active in something called progressive rock. And I work with Yes's management on making music for their label. And I do all the Yes cruises and all that stuff. So on my journey, actually, after I moved to L.A., I started working a lot with a guy named Dave Kirzner, who lives in Miami. So here's the deal. We started working on records, and next thing you know, I'm working with guys like Steve Hackett from Genesis and Marillion and all that stuff. So this is like it's very interesting. Like, for years, it's like I tried to make music that would get me signed, and I finally got a record deal making progressive rock music, which dinosaur rock.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 8-minute songs, and I actually got a deal making instrumental music. It sells all over the world. So I was booked on a tour with Dave Kirzner to go do a progressive rock tour, and my girlfriend's like, hey, you should have him fly you back a week later, and we could spend a fun couple weekends, you know, week in London. I was like, okay, sure, but I'm going to try something, because a long time ago, I read an article with Al Di Meola, the famous jazz guitar player, Return to Forever, Chick Corea. He had a day off in London, and he wanted to visit Abbey Road because he's a huge Beatles fan. And he said, well, I'm Al Di Meola. Let me see if they have time available. So he called them, and they had a cancellation. And he came in with his acoustic guitar, recorded a bunch of Beatles songs, and the album ended up like winning a Grammy. So I was like, okay, let me try that. So I said, I'm going to be available from September 23rd to September 28th, 2018. What's available? And they sent me a list, and they said, well, Studio 2, which is the Beatles room, is available on September 25th. And I was just like, oh my God. I told Cindy, I'm like, this is my chance. However, that's the most expensive studio I've ever seen. Renting it for 10 hours was close to $5,000. And I said, well, it's a month away. Let me see if I can raise the money. I raised the money. I did a GoFundMe. People that know me the best know that the Beatles were my obsession when I was 10 years old. And it's funny because, like, last night I mentioned that I had a really strange bout of insomnia.
Yeah.
The last time this happened was the night before Abbey Road, where I could not sleep, no matter how much NyQuil or pills I could take. And I somehow powered through and had an incredible day. Now, I made a very interesting semi-mistake. which is, I mean, originally the whole concept was me to record as much as I could of my new record there, which I did. But I looked in a book I've had since I was a kid called The Beatles Recording Sessions. And I looked up September 25th and I said, what did the Beatles do on September 25th? And I found out that September 25th, 1968 was the first session for While My Guitar Gently Weeps. And I said, well, what if I called a bunch of my friends in London and put together a little all-star band and we did While My Guitar Gently Weeps 50 years to the day that the Beatles did it at the same room, the same room. Well, I ended up getting my friend Sean Lee from Sean Lee Pimpunk Orchestra, my friend Jason Rowe and his wife Daphna, who used to be called Jai, who was a big artist in the 90s. Sean brought Diane Birch, who's one of my favorite artists, singer-songwriters in the world. I brought a drummer, bass player, keyboard player. And the thing that kind of blew is that it took a long time to set up the band. So I like lost an hour of studio time setting up that. But in the end, we came up with this incredible arrangement of While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Oh, yeah. It's on your YouTube.
And it's beautiful. The only thing is, again, I didn't get to finish my record at Abbey Road. I recorded all the drums, pianos, vocals there. But I didn't get to do all the bass and guitar that I wanted to do. But there's enough recorded at Abbey Road to say that my album was mostly recorded at Abbey Road. And that record did really well, Zebra Crossing, which is technically, it's a pop record, but it does have a couple of progressive rock moments. And in fact, the title track called Zebra Crossing was recently turned into a vocal track by Dave Kirzner, who we now have a project called Squids Out to Sea, which is a combination of his nickname and my album titles. And that did really well. And it kind of got turned, it's an instrumental that kind of got turned into like a Tears for Fears thing. So that's out now. That room is ground zero for rock and roll history. It's a cool studio because the control room is on the second floor, and there's a famous flight of stairs that the Beatles would always climb to go listen to the music. And walking up and down that flight of stairs, and then looking down, I'll never forget when I walked in, like they asked me what I wanted, and I told them I needed a drum kit, I needed some pianos, and I needed a guitar amp and a bass amp. And when I walked in, you walk in on the second floor, and you look down on this huge studio, and everybody's seen the pictures of the Beatles working in that room. And then suddenly see the room set up to my specifications, I just started bawling. They haven't really redecorated. You take a black and white picture there, and you could literally superimpose the Beatles working. They recorded 99% of their music in this room, which is about the size of a small basketball court. To pee in the same bathroom, to hang out in the same green room, and a lot of the same microphones were used. And in fact, on the cover of my record is a piano that was actually used on Lady Madonna and Penny Lane, which I used on the record, which they call the Mrs. Mills piano. And it's all over the Beatles stuff. And it's like the Martha, My Dear intro and stuff like that. And it's just amazing because Paul McCartney did a concert at Abbey Road on the Monday. I was there on the Wednesday. On Monday, he had done a pop-up concert for his new album called Egypt Station. And he actually played that piano, so his DNA was still on that piano.
It was Mojo.
Mojo. I joke. I'm like, I didn't wash my hands until I had to, you know. but yeah, and you know what's crazy, and I hate to bring up a sore subject, but Abbey Road closed for the first time since World War I when during COVID. So it's like, I'm so glad I was able to record there before it became impossible, because if they close down for like a month, that studio is going to be backed up forever now.
Yeah.
Even though I do have a bunch of friends in Miami that I said, hey, if we split the 4,000 or 5,000 five ways, we should go record an album there. And they're all down, but it might take a little while now.
Right. But that's kind of good. You need that time to kind of plot out what your guys are going to do and stuff like that. So
I think that's what we're all doing right now. We're plotting out our futures while given this gift of time. While we're home locked up, I think everybody who's a creator should perfect their art of creation, creating.
Right.
You know, and get more creative when it comes to developing their art. You know, if you can't play a show, turn on your iPhone and play it online, you know.
Yeah.
If you can't reach out to everybody you know, you never know where everyone else is at.
Exactly, which is what I've been doing too. I've been reaching out to other artists because I'm like, what are they doing? Like, you know, they're probably doing nothing. This is my one chance maybe that I have to actually interview them and get them on the show. So,
well, it's happening all the time. Actually, it's really really cool. Tonight I'm going to be co-hosting a web interview with Lawrence Juber, who was the guitar player for Wings, and they're just all available. And, you know, they're promoting their work, and it's great. On the other side, like Ricky Lee Jones. Collins, who's one of my favorite artists of all time, she's been struggling because she makes her living touring. So now she's got GoFundMes and stuff up, and she's been doing concerts and getting major tips because she's lucky, because she's Ricky Lee freaking Jones. But still, when you have somebody that famous saying, man, I need help. Like, yeah, my friend's sister's married to the singer of Fuel, and that's all they do now is tour. So on one hand, it's kind of cool that they can now work on new records and stuff. But the touring industry is so screwed that, you know, they can't just say, okay, it's summer. Daddy's going to go on tour for 6 months and then rest the rest of the year. Now it's like constant work, you know. But the work has kept me sane. It could be really tough if you have nothing going on. So I really feel for people that are just like struggling right now. But luckily, though, you know, there's been lots of grants and Music Cares and stuff like that. So, you know, and the COVID grants and stuff. So it's a... what did they say? Trying times lead to amazing recoveries. You know, I don't know.
That sounds about right. I like that.
Yeah.
My guest has been Fernando Perdomo. For more information, log on to FernandoPerdomo.com. There you'll see links to his YouTube, but I'll have links to his YouTubes and all of his social medias on EnterTheShell.com on the show notes. So make sure to log on. If you can't remember any of that, log on to EnterTheShell.com. And please check them out, especially that Abbey Road, My Guitar Gently Weeps video. I saw that.
Oh, yeah.
I checked it out, and I was like, man, this is cool. So make sure to do that. And thank you again for...
thank you so much for having me, man. I mean, I it's always been a pleasure, and it's great to talk to you again, and hopefully we'll all hang in the same room and have a beer together or something.
I can't wait. And again, my door is always open, so, you know, whenever you get back and whenever we can be in a room, you know, let me know. And
hey, we are in a room together, man. It's a beautiful thing, you know, this internet thing that keeps us all together. So, you know, let's onward.
Onward.
Yeah.